I'm going to read Isaiah 65, 17 through 25 from the Message. It's a little bit different, but I think it meets the point pretty well. Pay close attention now. I'm creating new heavens and a new earth. All the earlier troubles, chaos, and pain are things of the past to be forgotten. Look ahead with joy. Anticipate what I'm creating. I'll create Jerusalem as sheer joy. Create my people as pure delight. I'll take joy in Jerusalem, take delight in my people. No more sounds of weeping in the city. No cries of anguish. No more babies dying in the cradle. Or old people who don't enjoy a full lifetime. 100th birthdays will be considered normal. Anything less will seem like a cheat. They'll build houses and move in. They'll plant fields and eat what they grow. No more building a house that some outsider takes over. No more planting a field that some enemy confiscates. For my people will be as long-lived as trees. My chosen ones will have satisfaction in their work. They won't work and have nothing come of it. They won't have children snatched out from under them. For they themselves are plantings blessed by God. With their children and their grandchildren, likewise, God blessed. Before they call out, I'll answer. Before they've finished speaking, I'll have heard. Wolf and lamb will graze the same meadow. Lion and ox eat straw from the same trough. But snakes, they'll get a diet of dirt. Neither animal nor human will hurt or kill anywhere on my holy mountain, says God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing the good news this morning. Thank you, my friend. Beautiful. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for your word, and you speak into our lives in so many different ways. But the word through the prophet this morning reminds us that you are a God of hope. In the midst of devastation, in the midst of challenge, nothing can separate us from your hope, from your love. Remarkable as that is, help us to be open to learning more about this love and hope, to remembering that your touch is upon us. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. Did anyone wake up this morning with a stiffness that you didn't have yesterday? Anybody wake up this morning and you got out of bed and you started walking and said, hold it, that knee's not working as well as it should, or maybe the neck, something like that. Anybody here? Anybody have a... Every morning? Okay, amen. Praise God. Well, for those of you who would like to have that feeling, the MIT Laboratories, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, one of the highest level facilities of learning and research in our country, known for their wonderful discoveries, has come up with this. This is a true story. They developed, I don't know why I need to say that to you, as though I've ever stretched the truth or told you a fish story, anything like that. They have developed a device, a sort of electronic jacket filled with wires and electrodes. And when you put it on, it does weird things to your physiology. Sounds interesting so far, right? And you actually feel like you are 75 years old. Now, for some of you, I'm not going to say who, you'd say, I'd go with that. No question about it. I'd go with that, yeah. They call it an age suit. This is true. It's a miracle. Even if you're 25, it can make you feel like you are 75. Isn't it wonderful to see our stimulus dollars at work? I was walking through an airport recently, and whenever you walk through an airport, you see all sorts of ads, and they're you know, small, quiet little billboards like the size of this wall, and you see them, and there was one featuring an ad for a spa, and all of these ads don't have people who look like me, okay? They have buff-looking, young, strong, powerful. You get the point? Yeah, yeah. And they're all looking, and they're glistening, and they're in shape. You know, why are they going to a spa? Really? I mean, they're already good. But it read, it had this statement. The human battery, infinitely rechargeable. The human battery, infinitely rechargeable. On those mornings that you wake up and there's a hurt or a stiffness where there wasn't one the day before, do you feel like you're infinitely rechargeable? Do you feel that way? No. There's nothing that we can produce that guarantees eternal life, life anew, resurrection, that only comes from one source. The answer is God. That only comes from God. God is the one where our trust is to be placed. And while it's tempting to look for answers in other places, while it's tempting to look for answers through technology or through a new and improved product, God and God alone can be trusted. That's important to remember, especially when we are going through challenging times. Especially when we hear news involving the human race, involving brothers and sisters around the world who are going through devastation. And the only question we have is why? Why is this happening? How could this happen? While we may never know the answer to that, we do know who we still are called to trust. In the midst of the greatest challenge, in the midst of the greatest hurt, in those days when we are wondering if we can handle one more day, God is the source of life, of eternal life, of hope, and God is the one who can be trusted. In this particular passage from Isaiah, within the last section of the book of Isaiah, the words of the prophet come to the people of God after their return to Jerusalem. Now, it's not as though they've been away on vacation. It's not as though they've been visiting friends. They were in exile An exile meant that they were having to start all over again. First of all, they had to have gone through an invasion by a foreign power, the Babylonians. They saw the destruction of the temple, or the source, or the focus of their spiritual grounding, the place where they felt God truly resided, that was destroyed. They had been forcibly dislocated, moved out of the land that God had promised to them, their homeland, the place that they knew and loved, and taken to a whole different place. What's even worse is that part of this was because of their own turning away from God, their own abandonment of the only true source of love in their lives. They turned away, they started worshiping idols, they started forgetting about God. Things were going well, so hey, I must be doing something right. Never was the thought, things are going well, thank you, Heavenly Father, I humble myself before you. There's a difference, isn't there? Whenever things are going well, we are called to humble ourselves before God, because God is the source of grace and love. When things are going poorly, we are called to humble ourselves before God, because God is still the source of love and grace. It's unending, you see. No matter what we're dealing with, God's grace and love is unending. But they were coming back, and they were returning to their homeland. And God says through Isaiah, offers some absolutely wonderful words. They are downtrodden. They were beat up. They're tired. Maybe they're even wondering if God still loves them. These are the words. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. God will bring joy to Jerusalem. There's not going to be any more weeping or crying in the streets. No more will an infant live but a few days, or another not live out the fullness of one's lifetime. The people will again experience prosperity. They will build houses, and houses that they can stay in. They will plant vineyards, vineyards that will prosper, and they will enjoy the work of their hands. There is a new day, one of changed lives. Now, when we think about children, and when we celebrate the birth of children here, and that's a wonderful thing. New life, God at work. And isn't it easy to see God at work whenever you look into the eyes of a baby, a child? In some parts of this world, of God's world, that's a much more tenuous proposition. In Guatemala, for instance, many Amerindian mothers do not name their children until the age of 3 years. I didn't know that. They wait. They wait because rather than naming that child, they wait to see if that child will survive. It's kind of a protection against grief and loss. How blessed we truly are. Are we thanking God for that blessing? Are we remembering the words of the prophet also that says the new Jerusalem is full of joy? Joy is something that we remember only comes from God. And it's interesting that joy seems to be a component that the prophet continues to point the people towards. It's not simply about being happy. It's not simply about getting things, gathering things that will make you happy for a moment. The prophet is speaking about God's joy that is lasting through all things. When we have God's joy, that actually sustains us through the dark times, through the times of our own personal exile. God's joy is something that the world cannot take away. In fact, in some Hispanic churches, there is this phrase, this refrain, that continues to ring out of a popular hymn that is sung, Mi Dios es alegre. My God is joyful. That's a great phrase, isn't it? My God is joyful. Reminds us that that is what God is. That's what we can expect from God as we humble ourselves before God in all times and in all places. Salvation history, being saved, having that saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, is a series of ups and downs for the people of God, no question. Have we always, think about this in your own mind, have you always made the right decisions in your life? Let's close our eyes, and if you have, raise your hand, and then I want to talk to you. Somebody actually raised his finger over here. I won't even say who it was. Salvation history is that churning of God within us, always at work, even when we don't make the right decisions, even when we turn away from God, God continues to speak into our lives. There's those times when we actually have turned away from God, turned our back on God, a self-imposed exile, if you will. God was not turning away from us, never does. We turn away from God. God then is waiting and is present for our return, joyful and excited, wanting to receive us back home. Jesus knew of this, and that's why the story of the prodigal son is so powerful. The one who had turned his back, had actually wished that his father was dead, was now coming home, and the father is not turning his back to him. What does he do? He runs out to him. No decorum, no proper behavior. He's so excited he runs back to him. God receives us, my friends, in that same way. And if you've turned your back on God, if you've turned away from God, all you need to do is know that God is waiting to receive you back home and fill you with joy. Maybe you were out searching for things that would simply make you happy. You realize, boy, I'm not happy anymore. What's the next thing that's going to make me happy? And what you were really searching for, what you were really seeking, is God's joy in your heart to sustain you. Failure. And understanding that we can continue on the journey with God, even when we've failed, because it's not about us, it's about God. There's an awful lot of hope in that. Jonas Salk is a great researcher, physician, whose discovery of the polio vaccine transformed the world of medicine and did a great deal towards eradicating that disease in many areas of the world, was once asked how this one great accomplishment could be related to his 200 other failures. Okay? Salk responded in this way. I never had 200 failures in my life, for my family never thought in terms of failure. We spoke in terms of experiences. It was such an attitude that made my 201st experience a discovery. But it could not have been done without the 200 previous experiences. So if you've screwed up, all you need to do is kind of shake your head and say, God, that was quite an experience. Is God there still with us? Yeah. Is God seeking an intimacy with us? Absolutely. If anyone is in Christ, that is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. For the people returning to their homeland, God was about doing a new thing. A God of joy, lasting joy. For we, the people of God here in this place, God is doing a new thing. And if God is doing a new thing in you, no matter what you feel like, God is at work and in control and ready to surprise you. A Duke oncologist, cancer specialist, who specializes in some of the worst kinds of cancer, has all sorts of degrees and fellowships after his name, well known. And like all professionals, he has a card, a little business card, okay? Maybe you have a business card. In fact, it's one of the coolest things whenever people come back to Yuma and they give me a business card with their address here and wherever else they live as well. Sometimes they have the little picture on it as well. It's awesome. But this card has something else, very simple on it. This guy has so many degrees. He's been on 60 Minutes. This is what is on his card. And this is the only thing that's on his card. There is hope. That's a business card that I would hold on to. That's a business card I'd probably have in my wallet and look at. And for Christians, actually, we could all pass out these cards. There is hope because of God at work. Even when we feel separated from God, God doesn't want to be separated from us. It's that kind of card that lifts the spirits of all of those who He is working with. It's the message on that card that also keeps you and me marching forward. If we each had one of those cards and had our name on it, and there is hope, that, my friends, would be a powerful witness to the resurrection and to the God who is at work in our lives at this very moment. The bad news this morning is that God does not promise to make anybody young. Sorry. The good news is that God promises to make all things new. I would invite you to be with me in a time of reflection. Maybe you're coming back out of exile. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you just simply want to turn back to God again today. Maybe today you're recognizing that there's something that you were seeking after for happiness, but you really need God's joy. And maybe you simply want to ask God for that joy. Something can only come from God. Maybe you're wanting to renew that relationship that you have with God through Jesus Christ. In these moments, be open to that God of love and hope and joy.